Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Blessings don't come because of what we do as much as they come because of where we are positioned. It is our position in the Lord Jesus Christ that allows Him to be everything He is within us.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Thank you, Brother Corey. God bless you, truth seekers, and welcome to Truth Infusion. My name is David. I'm excited to be with you, to have the opportunity to serve you today, to be in the service of the King. I was thinking about something just a few minutes ago. The Word tells us that our God, He is so huge, He's just so big that He measures the universe in the span of His hand. Painting the picture of God in His all-powerful hand, holding everything we know in the known universe and all the stuff we know nothing about at this point, and holding it in being right there in the palm of His hand. What an amazingly powerful God we serve. And the fact that God is so big, what's even more amazing is that huge, enormous, all-powerful God can shrink and fold and fit and fashion Himself to uniquely fit in the circumstances that you are in right now. He's not so big that He cannot find you where you are and not just hover above you in His immenseness, but to fit Himself perfectly into the situation that you are in because He loves you that much. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. What I want to do this week is we want to begin a new teaching series. Now, if you were with us the last few weeks, we've been working on a teaching series called No Shoes Allowed. It was a four-part series based on a sermon that the Lord gave me about a year and a half ago. If you missed that sermon series, it's one of the most effective sermons that God ever has given me so far. And I tell you, I don't take any props for it myself. The Lord, if He gives me anything, it's always from Him. And if it's effective at all, it's because He is using it. But I want you to hear that. And here's what I want you to know. If you weren't able to catch the Truth Infusion series, No Shoes Allowed, in the last 4 weeks or so, you can go to truthinfusion.com. And we have a radio page on our website. And on that radio page, I'm pretty sure it's every radio program that we have done thus far is uploaded to the website. I know there's like 85 shows presently available in their entirety, free of charge for you to stream and listen to tell your friends and family, I want you to hear this. Whatever the case, you be ministers with that, and that's there for your use. Please use those teachings for whatever the Lord places on your heart, whether it's for you or for someone else. And that the No Shoes Allowed series is there. This week, we're going to kind of shift gears and do something different. I'm thinking this will probably last a couple of weeks or so. But I want to start a couple of weeks teaching on the concept or the topic of understanding our divine position. And I imagine for the most part today, in the next 20 minutes or so, what we're going to get into more than anything is I hope I can impress upon you the importance and the necessity of understanding your divine position, your God-given position in the body of Christ. I don't know that I've ever heard this taught on exactly the way we're going to do it in the next couple of weeks. And again, we'll give God glory for anything good that comes from this. But I believe that there are truths in this teaching that are foundational. That if you want to walk in victory and in success in your Christian life, if you want revival perhaps to come to your heart, if you're struggling with some things and you're trying to find answers and pathways and roads out of the circumstances that you're in, maybe an understanding, a rudimentary and foundational understanding of your divine position is what you're missing. And perhaps for many of you, I'm not going to tell you anything in the next week or two that you don't already know, but if you're like me, sometimes I just need to be reminded of those things that I do know. And maybe it's not teaching brand new for you. Maybe it's reminding you of things that need to be brought back to the forefront. In any case, very important foundational doctrinal teaching, understanding our divine position. Let's pray about it. Heavenly Father, in the next few moments, we give this time completely over to you, Holy Spirit. Because I admit, Lord, to you and to the listeners that I do not have the capability within myself to divide your word correctly. But God, if you would send the teacher, if you would send the preacher, the Holy Spirit, to do this work, then the right words will be spoken in the correct way, and the hearts and the ears that receive it would receive a blessing of revelation from you, not from David Markham, but from the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the opportunity to hear your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Truth Seekers, I've been in the ministry now with Truth Infusion Ministries for about 2.5 years. And in the last 2.5 years, the Lord has placed us in many positions to do a lot of neat things. Been in front of a lot of different congregations and denominations. Truth Infusion Ministry isn't tied to any denomination, and because of that, it allows us to get in front of a lot of different sizes and shapes and flavors of churches, which I love. I love doing that. It's a blessing to me. It's a learning experience for me in a lot of ways, and just be able to reach out to people where they are with the truth. Do you know that the truth, if it is really God's truth and not man's attempt at truth, it fits in every flavor of church. If it is the unadulterated, no holds barred truth of God, it will find its place in the heart of a man or woman, boy or girl, and it will take root and it will grow the fruit that that seed from the Lord was intended to bear. Now, here's what I want to get at. Many places I've been in the last 2.5 years, different congregation events, revivals, community events, what have you, I'm beginning to notice some patterns, if you will, over the last couple of years of some things that I'm seeing that are common threads through these different congregations and groups, no matter who they are or where they are. Some of these commonalities are good things. Let me just give you one, for instance. One of the things that I'm seeing very often in different churches of different flavors and denominations, I'm beginning to see quite the hunger for, let me just say it this way, for something that is real. A lot of these congregations, churches, from the pastor to the pew, they are tired of things operating the way they've always operated and seeing the same things they've always seen. They're looking in the Word of God and they're seeing the possibility of the promises and the power of God through the church. They're looking at the reality of their congregation and their body, and they're noticing some differences between what the Word says and what they're experiencing, whether on the individual's level, the family group level, or the congregational level as a whole. And a lot of church bodies are beginning to ask the question, why is it this way? Why are we not experiencing the things that the Bible points out we should be able to perform and do and experience, receive and give? What's holding us back from that? We're tired of the way it's always been. We're ready for something real. How many of you know when the people of God begin to cry out for, Lord, give us something that matters, something that's real, that is a prayer that God desires to answer. In fact, I would say this, that is a prayer that is prayed by someone in whom God has placed that desire himself. And that's a common thread I'm seeing in many different and various churches and bodies and congregations. But there are also some commonalities I'm beginning to pick up on in the last couple of years that perhaps are not good or positive. I'm beginning to see some faults in the body of Christ across the board. And let me tell you one of them because it helps me to get into the teaching that we want to talk about for the next couple of weeks and understanding our divine position. Here's what I'm beginning to see. Now, this is David's statistics. You know, this isn't real statistics. This is just my opinion right now. I want to tell you that I believe a great majority, maybe 90% or better, of Christians today, I'm talking about people that love the Lord, attend their church, even serve in churches, 90% or better of Christians today live a life of defeat without power, without joy, and without peace in their everyday life. Now, hear me out when I say, when we come to church on Sunday morning, we usually put on a face that, at least on the outside for those that are looking, gives the appearance that everything is hunky-dory at home and in our personal life and at work or what have you. I like to call it church face. If you've been following the program for a while, you've probably heard me refer to that. Church face. Right? That is when the body of Christ, the individuals in the church, come with their mask on and let you think, hopefully you believe, that they are righteous and holy and happy and everything's good and God's just ripping and roaring in their life and victory, victory, victory. And on the inside, they're withering away. And they may get a little taste of the Lord on Sunday and things are looking a little up by Sunday evening, but Monday morning comes and reality settles back in and there is struggle and there is defeat and there is a lack of joy and peace and the power of God is not noticed in their life. And I'm telling you that the majority of you that are listening now can very directly identify with what I am describing because you yourself, if you are not there now, have recently been there, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Most Christians today are not living in the fullness of the benefits of our relationship with Jesus. We've got a benefits package, church, that is literally out of this world. I'm telling you, the retirement benefits for being a child of God are amazing, but God did not reserve all of His blessings for us after we leave this world and step into glory and the eternal bliss of being with God in person. He has given promises and benefits that are available to the body of Christ today. The problem is, number one, people don't know what they are in most cases. Number two, how to receive them. So ultimately, that equals that they are living in defeat and frustration. And I'm telling you that it's based probably in quite a bit in this concept that we don't understand our true divine position. And we will never step into our heritage as believers unless we understand our position. Now, here it is, in Christ. In Christ. Those two words together are going to be the catchphrase for this teaching. You're going to hear me say it over and over. You are in Christ. You are in Him. Now, many of you have just shaken your head, yes, and even maybe said out loud, amen. But I truly believe that most Christians, though they would agree that that's true, don't have a concept of what it really means. And this is what I think, truth seeker, if you don't understand what it means fundamentally to be in Christ, then you cannot live in the fullness of the benefits of your relationship with Jesus, because it is through that divine position that all the benefits of heaven come to us. So that's what we're going to talk about. I did some research on my own just about a week or so ago. I began looking in the writings of Paul, okay? I took the whole New Testament and I reduced the scope to just Paul's writings, though you could easily include Peter and John and James and the other gospel writers, Luke, in this. But I just looked at Paul's just to kind of make my research a little bit easier. And I began to reference the number of how many times Paul used a phrase that describes our divine position. So here's what I did. I looked up six phrases in Paul's writings. I looked up the phrase in Jesus. How many times did he write in Jesus in his writings? I looked up in Jesus Christ. Sometimes he says it that way. I looked up in Christ. I looked up in Christ Jesus. Okay, you following me? All these different variations of the same thing. I looked up the phrase in Him, capital H-I-M, referring to being in Jesus. And also I looked up in the Lord. Six phrases, all referring to the same thing, our divine position being in Christ. I used the New King James Version, looked up these six phrases in Paul's writings. Guess what I found? That in the New King James Version, Paul uses this phrase or a derivative of this phrase over 170 times. Depending on the translation you read, it can be somewhere between 170 to 200 times that Paul used the phrase in Christ or some phrase that describes our divine position over 170 times. Now, here's the point I want to make quickly. Anything that God says one time is very important and deserves all of our attention. Amen? If He says something once, it's dramatically important. If He repeats Himself, there are times where He will say something even in a verse twice or two or three times in a row in the Word. If He repeats Himself, if God takes time to repeat Himself to us, how much more important might that be? What if He says something over 170 times? See, most of us believe that the words in Christ are just some sort of bridge or link to get us from the first of a verse to the end of a verse. I'm telling you, it's not a bridge to get from two important parts of a verse. It is the most important part of the verse. But we skip over it and gloss over it and don't think about it because it's two short words, and I'm going to give you a reason why I think we skip over it for the most part. But the point I want to make first is just this. God does not have short-term memory loss. He doesn't repeat Himself because He forgot He's already said that. In fact, I think God repeats Himself because we have short-term memory loss. Come on. Some of you know what I'm talking about. My wife will tell you that's true about me. She has to say it several times before I get it to lock inside my head. I'll admit it. If God says something 170 times, truth seekers, there is an import in that concept we need to grab a hold of. In Christ, just in Paul's writings, so many times it was difficult to count. Why does God do that? Why do we skip over something that God wrote or had His gospel writer record over 170 times? Let me give you some reasons why I think we skip over that. 170 times. Let me read you a couple of verses where the phrase in Christ or something like that shows up, and I want to make a couple of points. Let me give you a couple of verses that you recognize easily. Romans 8:2. Here's what it says. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now listen to this. It's not our action. It's not our deeds. It's not even necessarily the law of the Spirit of life that makes us free from the law of sin and death. I want to tell you today that what we don't skip over in this verse is the fact that the reason we have freedom from the law of sin and death is because we are in Christ Jesus. It's our position in Him that makes Romans 8:2 come alive. We are in Him. You are in Christ. And because you are in Christ, the possibility of freedom now comes to you in a form of grace that is just unspeakable and full of glory. Let me give you another verse, and then I want to make a point. Another one you'll recognize. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Here's what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Remember this one? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you are in Christ, the possibility of you being a new creation and old things passing away come to you. If you are not in Christ, it is impossible. But when you and I refer to this verse in most cases, here's what we do. We refer to 2 Corinthians 5:17 and we say, all things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. And we've skipped the linchpin on which this whole thing turns. You see, all things passing away and all things becoming new is the effect. It's the effect. And we like to focus, don't we, on the effect. Because the effect is the fireworks. The effect is the signs and wonder. The effect is what everybody looks at and goes, ooh, ah. But we are prone to look at the effect, and when we find ourselves focusing on the effect, it is to the detriment of forgetting the source. It is the source of the power that allows the effect to take place. And when we place anything before our God, it becomes an idol, does it not? Can I try something here? And you may not agree with this, but I think there's probably some validity to what I'm about to say. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If we place the effect of the power ahead of the source of the power, we are making an idol out of the wonder, out of the sign, out of the effect. And I want to tell you this, God will not pour His best into any of His children who are idolizing something else, even if it is that we are idolizing the effect of His hand. He wants us to focus and worship the source, not the effect. But if we are ignorant to the fact, or if we're not careful with our mind, if we're not careful with our flesh, we will begin to place emphasis on the effect of the power instead of on the source of the power. And I believe that is the main reason why it is easy for us to skip over the words in Christ or in Jesus or in Him, and go to what we think is the dessert, the icing on the cake. And we miss the most important, fundamental, foundational thing, your divine position. You are in Him. And because you are in Him, the blessings and the benefits of heaven and the Lord God Almighty are available to you. Not because you've done something good or acted right or done your spiritual push-ups for the week. You know, you don't get more blessings because you read more chapters or because you spend an extra 30 minutes in the prayer closet. Blessings don't come because of what we do as much as they come because of where we are positioned. It is our position in the Lord Jesus Christ that allows Him to be everything He is within us. And I'll probably refer to this more next week. But I want to tell you this. We've got about 5 minutes or so, maybe less. I want to make a point. If you are in Christ and Christ is in you, Christ only knows how to be Himself. Now that may sound kind of silly. Well, no kidding, David. Who else is He supposed to be? Well, we tend to think of Jesus in us as some kind of different Jesus than the one that walked and talked on this earth for 33 and a half years and healed and ministered and resurrected the dead and provided with love and food and died and rose again. It's the same Jesus that operated in power and glory on this earth. The same one is alive in you, and you are in Him. So the point I want to make is this. If we will allow God, the Holy Spirit, to begin to teach us what that divine position in Christ really means, I believe that the end result of that will be we will begin to position ourselves in such a way that everything that Christ is, the characteristics and the abilities of Jesus Himself, will more easily and effectively flow to us and through us. You see, that's what the fruit of the Spirit is. I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way. But when Galatians lists the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, do you know what these things are? They are personality traits of Jesus. In essence, this is what the fruits of, and it's not fruits, let me say it correctly, the fruit of the Spirit is not really these things that are listed. The fruit of the Spirit is Christ being expressed out of you. And when Christ is being expressed out of you, it will manifest itself in love, peace, all those things. Gentleness, kindness, self-control. What are those things? If we could have seen Christ on earth 2,000 years ago, we would have seen Him operating with His personality. These are the things He would have been expressing. And because you are in Christ, these things can be expressed through you because Christ wants to be Himself through you. And if you want the fullness of the benefits of a relationship with God, you've got to begin to understand your divine position in Christ, because the more we understand, the more the Holy Spirit can position us in such a way that everything Christ is can flow freely from a heart that is open and a heart that is in Christ. So there's the introduction. You come back next week because I got a lot of mo to talk about. A lot of mo. God bless you, truth seekers. Until next week, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.